Well, hello again. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're getting closer and closer to having services again at the prayer center. The official email went out this week, and we're going to start having services on Sunday, June the 7th, back to our normal schedule. Now, there will be some social distancing, and they prefer that we wear a mask, and there's going to be hand washing and, you know, just following the guidelines. But thank God we'll be able to assemble again and have services on June the 7th. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm also excited about today's lesson. And really, I didn't intend this to be a series, but I see what's happening here. I don't know what it'll be called eventually, but today's lesson really builds on the last three. And let me give you those titles. The first one was called Revival from the Face of the Lord. The second one was called Strengthened with Might. Last week's was called The Holy Spirit Also Helps Our Infirmities. And today, the title of this one is called Spiritual Might is Not Automatic. Now, let me read you the prayer. This is a famous prayer that Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians. There's several wonderful prayers there and his other letters also. But this one in particular right now, he's got me zeroed in on. And I'll just tell you the truth. Well, I'll try and always tell you the truth. What I mean to say is this. A question I've had, and I think a lot of people have had for a long time, is where's the power? You know, we've got people that are, like, including myself. I remember my days of being a Christian and not being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, it makes a big difference to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, and we're not alone in that. I remember reading about Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, he got saved, and he would argue with them, I have all the Holy Ghost there is, you know, and they would try and get him filled with the Holy Ghost, and I can just see him just bellowing out, you know, a big barrel-chested Englishman, I have all the Holy Ghost there is, you know. And then finally he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it's like and then he knew he didn't have it before. Well, John G. Lake saw something about 100 years ago that he wrote about in one of his letters. He said, I see a curious thing happening. I see people that get filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense that they can speak with tongues and they can prophesy, but they don't have any power. Well, that's the question. And we have so many. Thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for this revival. Thank God for Azusa Street. Thank God for the Pentecostal movement that spread around the world. And we have people that can speak with tongues, including myself and you probably, and speak with tongues, prophesy, and thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But it seems to be so few compared to what Jesus talked about. He said, the works, those that believe on me, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater than these shall they do because I go unto the Father. Well, dear Lord, just that one life, that three and a half years, John said at the end of his gospel, he said, you know, we've written this much that you might believe, but if all the things Jesus did were written down, I'm not sure all the books in the world could contain them. Well, that's from one anointed, Spirit-filled life, the life. He's the pattern that we're all to follow after. But if you're going to compare that to what we see manifested today, well, it's very little and few and far between, and myself included. I mean, I thank God. I have seen God heal through these hands. I've heard God prophesy through these lips and do some of the gifts, you know, discerning of spirits and other things. But and it's like that old song, you know, I heard it years ago. It says, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Well, I thank God for all of the, again, speaking with tongues, prophesying, interpretation of tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for what we have seen, but come on, let's get real. Compared to the power that we all see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that we all see in the book of Acts, we're walking way below what the Lord intends for us to walk. So the question is, Lord, why? What is causing that? Well, He gave us the what we're calling the blueprint for 2020, that series of 10 prophecies that came through our beloved pastor friend Bronk down in Immokalee, Florida. He just gave us these precise instructions, him knowing that this pandemic thing was coming and that we were going to have this extra time. He gave it to us ahead of time and gave us enough time to digest it and understand it. Hopefully, we've been putting it to good practice. You could always do more, but I know I've been doing a lot and spending extra time praying in the Spirit and in the Word and worship and all of those things. Well, he keeps bearing down on this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. I should have told you already to turn there. And there's going to be quite a few verses I'm going to read today. It's up to you whether you want to try and find them or not. You can write them down, look them up later. I don't want to keep you here all day, so I may not wait for you to find them, but I'll read them, and you can mark them down. But anyway, here's the prayer, and it's Ephesians. Let me just read the whole thing out of the King James. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'll just read it, and then I'll start commenting, okay? And we're not going to get even all the way through this prayer, the teaching on it today, there's so much. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, my Lord. Talk about a Spirit-given prayer. So let's start going through here, because now again, this builds on those previous three lessons. There is some review, just so you, when he says strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that word might is a familiar word to us. It's the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. It means force. It means power. It means explosive power. It means miracle working power. This is different than the ability to live above sin. We're going to get into that later too, but you receive the ability, the grace, the power to live above sin when you get born again. That's the power to say no to sin and live godly in this world. This power here he's talking about, it's translated, that same word is translated virtue. You remember the woman that came with the issue of blood and touched the hem of his garment? And he didn't even know who it was, but she touched him with faith. And it says virtue flowed out of him, and she felt it come into her, and he felt it go out. It's force, force you can feel, right? You can feel force, And that word virtue is the exact same word. It's dunamis. It's dynamite that flows. It's more like, nitroglycerin. It flows, Paul is praying here, not that we... thank God that we have the ability to live above sin, but that's not what he's praying in this verse. He's saying strengthened with dunamis. To help you also, this is later, but in this lesson, Jesus said, you shall receive power, dunamis, same word, you shall receive dunamis after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, you see what I'm saying? This is different than just the new birth. This is more than the ability to live above sin. This is dunamis. This is dynamite, miracle, working power. Paul is praying that we have it, that we be strengthened with it, and that God give it to us. Okay, so now, I think we're ready to start the lesson. First off, I want to mention something here. Notice how this is worded. For this cause, Paul writing, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I absolutely do not want to get legalistic, but right on the other hand, I think sometimes we get almost too cavalier. Bowing the knees, which is a sign of humility. It is to humble yourself. And I'm not saying we have to do that every single time, but let me just read this. Humility, humbling ourselves before our Father, has almost been lost to the church. It's like, you know, he's been teaching us and teaching us who we are in Christ because he doesn't want us to think we're old slimy dog worms that have no value. And, you know, I got beat down by religion a lot on that. I know a lot of you did too growing up. You know, he wants us to know who we are, kings and priests and sons of the Most High God. So God's been teaching us that. But you know, one of the people that we learned a lot of that from was the Apostle Paul from his writings. So he sure knows it. Yet if he himself says, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to bow my knees. I notice it's plural. It makes me want to, I get to feel weeping. See, because I think sometimes there's a difference between knowing who you are and becoming irreverent. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if Paul thinks it's a good idea, at least once in a while, I caught myself during this study. Now I'm 73 and my knees are not like they used to be, but I've actually bowed my knees here several times in these last few weeks. Just, I want to take the right posture with my Father. I bow the knees to you, Father. Just, if Paul thought it's a good idea to bow the knees, I'm going to bow the knees. I want to humble myself. So again, we learned a lot of this, who we are in Christ, and we should be, hold our head high. We're sons and daughters and joint heirs with Christ. I bet the Lord Jesus bowed his knees those nights that he prayed all night to the Father. I bet you there was some bowing. Anyway, if Paul thought it was good to bow his knees in prayer, at least occasionally, to the Father, maybe he did it every time, I don't know. I'm thinking it's good for us to do it sometimes also, not legalistically, and nobody's trying to force rules back on you, but I want an attitude of heart. If Paul thought it was good to bow the knees, Gary needs to keep that same humility of heart. I'm going to give you previews of coming attractions. Two of the biggest words that the Lord has given me personally, now maybe not with you, I'm just talking about me, during this time of pandemic where we've been spending all this time praying in tongues, two big words that just keep coming to Gary are the words humble and seek. Humble and seek. Humility. Let me give you, I just looked up a few, just real quick, just a few of the things that Jesus and the apostles said about the word humble, humility. And again, I'm going to go fairly quick. Probably not going to have time to turn to these, but Matthew 18:4, Jesus speaking, he said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't diminish you to be humble. It exalts you to be humble. Here's another one, Matthew 23:12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. All right. Here's James 4:6, the Apostle James. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Peter, if everybody else forsakes you, and he said it right in front of them, I don't care if all these guys forsake you, I'm not going to forsake you. And I'm not going to deny you, Lord. And he was the only one that denied him three times, you know. You know, so I think Peter learned a few things about humility. Anyway, so 1 Peter 5:5, he says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. What a phrase. Wear humility like clothing. So when I see you coming, say, oh, he's humble. I can tell by what you're wearing. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Man. And the very next verse, it's 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The other word is seek. And we're going to get into that a little bit in today's lesson, but boy, seek me. God wants us to seek him. Here's a few verses, Jeremiah 29:13 from the Old Testament even. He says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Not a quarter heart, not a half-hearted heart, with your whole heart. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. Boy, that's a promise. I like Psalms 27:8. Love this one. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, if that's not the blueprint for 2020, come away with me. If he's going to summarize it, come away with me. Spend time with me. Spend time in my presence. I have things to teach you. I have things to explain to you. There's things that you can only get in my presence. Come away with me, my beloved. Over and over, I'm wooing you. I'm coaxing you over and over. He says it, come away with me. It's just another way of saying, seek me myself. Spend time with me. And then the last one I'm going to read on this subject is Luke 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus speaking, and he says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. One of the things that I've heard over and over again is that, son, if you seek me, you'll find me. And if you find me, myself, if you find me, you find my hand. It's like we're always asking for the blessing, the help. Help me with this and help me with that. It's not that he doesn't want to, but so much of the time, we're after what he has in his hand rather than him himself. But he says, if you find me, if you find me, well, you find my hand, and my hand comes with me. Oh, okay. Now, back to our prayer here. That was extra. There's no additional charge for the humble and seeking. There'll be more on that to come. I'm learning so much about it. Paul, in this prayer, now notice how this is worded very carefully. Paul is praying to the Father that he would grant something. Now, grant, you look it up, it means that he would give permission. Yes, I will give this to them. Yes, I agree, Paul. Yes, I grant. I give. Okay? So you could almost paraphrase it like this. Paul is saying, I am praying that you will give them something. And Paul is praying this for the church at Ephesus, not unbelievers, but this church. Now you got to understand, what Paul is asking for, that these people be strengthened with might by the Father's Spirit in the inner man. These people are already born again and spirit-filled, tongue-talking people. How do we know that for sure? Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can look it up for yourself in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. And Paul had found some disciples at Ephesus. They were disciples of John the Baptist. And Paul asked them, he says, have you received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, excuse me, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, you know? And they're going, we've not so much as even heard there is any Holy Ghost. What Holy Ghost are you talking about? Well, see, that tells you that they are disciples of John. Well, John's message was repent, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But they must have been fairly early in John's ministry, because if they've not heard of the Holy Spirit, then they didn't hear John say, the one coming after me is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. If they'd have heard John say that, they would have known about that there is a Holy Ghost, okay? So they were disciples of John. They had repented. They were doing their best to live holy lives, but they didn't know about Jesus, and they didn't know about the Holy Ghost. So Paul, if you read that, it says he preaches Christ to them, and you know, so they understand that this is the one that John the Baptist was prophesying about. They believed it. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Paul, it says, laid his hands on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And there were about 12 men there. Now, that's the beginning of the church at Ephesus. So they started off, these fresh, new believers in Christ, they started off freshly baptized by Paul, and also baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues and prophesying. So that church grew, as you know, at Ephesus. Timothy eventually became the pastor, and it became a mighty church. I mean, that's where John, the Apostle John, lived out the last days of his life and became a mighty church. But Paul is praying for them in this prayer, this letter to the Ephesian church. Now, get this. They're already born again. They can already speak with tongues, and they can prophesy. Sounds like a lot of our church today. Yet Paul wants them to be strengthened with might in their inner man. This sounds like it may be a key. What? You're already saved. Yes, I'm already born again. You can speak with tongues. Want to hear me? Shandala bakusa. Okay, good. Can you prophesy? Yeah. When the Holy Ghost moves on you can prophesy, you know. And probably the gifts of the Spirit were working there. But he still, for this tongue talking, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking church, Paul is praying that they be strengthened with dunamis. Now, I want to keep emphasizing that, because I'll just be honest with you, most of the time when this is preached, people preach it like he's talking about the strength to live above sin. That is not what he's preaching here. These people already got that when they got born again. That's the new nature that comes into you that gives you the strength and the ability and the power by grace to live above sin. They've already got that. That inner man he's talking about is that recreated new man on the inside of them that has the ability to say no to sin. He's talking about being strengthened with dunamis. The same word Jesus used, you shall receive dunamis, power, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, that dunamis is the virtue that would flow out of Jesus into the people when they got healed. Okay, review the last three lessons. Okay, I'm not going to camp there today. We've already camped there. All right. Now, let me sum it up again. Paul is praying that the Father would grant that he would give to these born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying believers, that God would strengthen them with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, again, that word might is dunamis. And the first meaning of the word in Strong's is force, power. It's where we get our English word dynamite from, dunamis. It is the force that is called virtue that flowed from Jesus into the woman with the issue of blood. And other places you'll read about it. It is. Paul is praying that we have that same might, that same virtue, that same power in us. Now, let's make some observations at this point that are really important. It is important to understand that this power, this dunamis, this miracle-working might, is not automatic at the new birth. These people were already born again. Yet Paul is praying for them to be strengthened with might, dunamis, in their inner man. If words mean anything, it means they're not already strengthened with might. If they had been strengthened with might, why would he pray that they be strengthened with might? Now, they're born again. They've got the power to live above sin. That comes part and parcel with the new man. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made us free from the law of sin and death. That's the one that life is what Jesus prophesied about in John 8:12. But he said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Why? For they shall have the light of life. That light of life is what makes you free from sin. But that is not what Paul is praying about here. He's talking about dunamis, virtue, power. Okay, so it's not automatic with the new birth. Now notice, it's also not automatic because you can speak with tongues or prophesy. Because these people could already speak with tongues and prophesy. We already saw that over in Acts. They started off this church. This is a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying, probably gifts of the Spirit moving church. But yet he's praying that they be strengthened with might. Now notice, in the inner man, that's going to be important here in a little bit. Now they pray in tongues already. They prophesy already. Yet Paul is praying, Father, I'm praying for this spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying church, Lord. They love you. They're living above sin. They're doing pretty good. But Father, they need something. I see something that they need. Father, I'm asking you. I bow my knees. I get on my knees, Lord, and pray. Father, strengthen them with might by your Spirit. Your Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost, we're going many lessons back now, but within the last year, he had me do some lessons that the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of the Father. Oh, that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost in a measure of power, the same way that Jesus meant it over in Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, the Holy Ghost has already come upon them in the sense they can speak with tongues and they can prophesy. But Paul is going beyond there now. Okay, let me keep going. See, many have asked, and I've asked this question, and we should ask the question, where is the power that's supposed to be in the church? You know, we're calling it revival. We're pressing towards it. We've been pressing towards it. That's the mandate of the prayer center, and everybody that's linked arms with the prayer center is to press into the real power that Jesus gave to the church. And where is it? You know, we've all been asking that question. And perhaps, be honest with you, there hasn't been enough humbling and seeking to the point that we actually find his presence, his real him. Now, you got to include worship here. You got to include everything. But let's go back a few more lessons. I remember a few weeks ago, you remember that lesson that was called Revival from the Face of the Lord? That was 3 weeks ago, I think. Remember the key verse that was in that, and it's Acts 3:19, where Peter's preaching, and he says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now notice, when the times of refreshing shall come, now notice, from the presence of the Lord. See, the actual English word revival does not occur in the King James Bible in the New Testament. But revived does, and here refreshing does. And really, this is the word. If you were going to look for the Greek word revival, it would be this one. You look it up, that word refreshing in the Greek, and it literally means a recovery of breath. Like you didn't have breath. I think we call that dead. But anyway, a recovery of breath, or you could say to be revived. And it comes, now notice, from the presence of the Lord. Now, in that study that I did 3 weeks ago, that word presence is most often translated face in the New Testament. Now, you've got a face, and there's breath coming from it. And you're getting revived. You're getting, the imagery could not be more clear. Now, I'm getting my hands free. You know, perhaps I should call one of these lessons spiritual CPR, because it's saying, repent, be converted, that your sins be blotted out, that times of refreshing, how does it say it? Fresh breath, recovery of breath can come from the face of the Lord. It's CPR. It's spiritual CPR. The Lord is reviving you. He's breathing into you fresh life. And it comes from his presence. It comes from his face. It's literally him himself breathing
fresh life. This is revival. If we're going to have revival, we got to first be revived. Hallelujah. But it comes from His face. It comes from His presence. You can't have His face without His presence. And this takes me right back to, in order to receive from His face, you've got to have an encounter with Him. And this takes me back to Jeremiah. Seek me with your whole heart, and you will find me. Seek me with your whole heart. And Luke 11, everyone that seeks finds. But I think it's seek with a whole heart. All right. Now look at Ephesians 3:16 again. I want to look at this one part now. Let's go on a little bit. He says, he's praying that they be strengthened with might. Now notice, that's dunamis. By His Spirit. Now, I'm just telling you plain. That's the Holy Ghost. That's not talking about your new nature. This is talking about the Holy Ghost. How you know that? Because He says, by His Spirit in the inner man. Well, what is the inner man? That's you. That's the recreated, born again you. God is a spirit. And if you're His child, you are a spirit. Isn't that right? God is a spirit. We're His child. We are a spirit, that inner man. Now, the inner man encompasses your soul, your memories, you know. It's you. But He wants you strengthened with dunamis, miracle-working power, in your inner man, all right? Now, that inner man is the very life of Christ. It is the new you. That inner man is the new creature. That's the, you know, Jesus is called the last Adam. There's not going to be another one. There was the first Adam, and he could recreate people in His own image, but He didn't have any children until after He fell. So he recreated a whole, well, not created, a whole species of humans, all of them born spiritually dead with a fallen nature. And He's not a quickening spirit. He could reproduce children in His image, but He could not quicken them from death to life. I'm talking spiritual death to life. But see, the last Adam is made a quickening spirit. Why is He called the last Adam? There's not going to be another one. This is it. We got two species. You're either born of the first man. Well, everybody originally is born of the first man, Adam. But see, Jesus, the last Adam, He's creating a new species from that dead species. When you get born again, that life is breathed into you. It's not oxygen. God, I like how Dave would say, you know, God is not dependent on His own creation. He's not breathing oxygen into you. He doesn't breathe oxygen Himself. No, He's breathing the breath of life. Life into your spirit. You're going from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. I like one translation, He is a new species that did not exist before. Boy, you got that right. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. And that He might be many sons being brought to glory through Him. Well, I'm one of them sons. I don't know what my number is. If there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn, a thirdborn, my number's in there somewhere. Amen? So is yours. All right. So we've got that part. So that inner man, it says, when He says strengthened with might by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in your inner man, that inner man is you. That is the life of Christ. That's that new creature on the inside. And He's saying, this Holy Spirit is literally in you. In you. All right. So, well, that sounds weird. Now, okay, I've already read that part. Just a minute. Let me go a little farther here. Let's get this. See? Because let's talk about that inner man just for a moment. I want to make sure again that we don't get it confused. This spirit of might that He's this or strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That inner man is the part of you that got born again. That inner man already has the power to live above sin. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what makes you free from the law of sin and death. That new man, that new creature that you are, that nature of Christ in you, is what empowers you to live by grace instead of by the law of Moses. Now, this one you might want to look up. It's one of my absolute favorite passages. It's two verses. To me, this is the best New Testament definition of grace that we have. It says if you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Well, what does that mean? Okay, this is what it means. And it's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, here it is. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. It teaches us something. What does that new nature teach us? What does that grace teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, what we've got is grace. This is what the Old Testament man did not have. This is what the man in Romans 7 did not have. He loved God. He wanted to keep God's law. He says, with my mind, I agree that your law is good and righteous and holy. I want to keep it. I set myself to keep it with all my will. I'm not going to do that sin anymore. I'm not going to do that bad thing and that start doing these good things. But eventually, as always, with all the best efforts, he finds there's a deeper law than the law of his self-will. And it's the law of sin and death. Until you get born again, you've got a spirit on the inside of you from the first man, Adam, that agrees with that fallen body, and it likes sin. It likes it. And your mind, his mind power, willpower does not have the power to overcome the law of sin and death. You've got to be born again. That is the very new nature. That is the new creation. That is that inward man that comes in. I like how Ephesians 4 says, I like to say, from the get-go is created in righteousness and true holiness. Glory to God. That is your nature, and it teaches you from the day you're born again. I still remember, the born-again trail is 6 volumes, 10 lessons in each volume, 60 volumes. And boy, it's like a college course. If you want to learn what the born-again trail, what that really means, there is no better on planet Earth, I don't think, than Dave Roberson's series called The Born-Again Trail. But in lesson one, volume one, lesson one, within the first 20 to 30 minutes, I think it's 20-some-odd minutes, within the first 20 minutes, Dave said it right from the beginning. If you're a Christian and you're still sinning, it's because you're choosing to. You want to. It's because you don't have to. And I remember hearing that, and that's so opposite to how I was raised, and you're just an old sinner saved by grace, meaning, yeah, you're forgiven, but you're not changed. You can't really stop sinning. I mean, that's the way I was raised, and it's just not biblical. They meant well, but they're just wrong. And the grace of God teaches you. That new nature teaches you. Gary? Gary, hello? Straighten up, boy. You don't have to sin anymore. You've got the life of Christ on the inside of you. You've got the new nature in there. That grace says you can say no to that ungodly stuff and live sober. How does it say it? And live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Not after I get to heaven. I can do it now. Glory to God. Now see, that's level one. And within the last, I think last week also, we talked about Romans 8 verses 1 through 15 is all talking about that. That is the light of life. That is the spirit of Christ. That's the life of Christ in us that sets us free from the law of sin and death. In verses 1 through 15, every time, even though it's, every time the word spirit is in there in the King James, it's capitalized because they thought it was the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. Verses 1 through 15 is talking about that new man, that inner man, that very inner man he's talking about here, that has been birthed in the image of Christ, that has by its very nature, part and parcel with it, comes the power to live above sin. Glory to God. That's got to be taught in the church, taught everywhere. Should be taught from day one. So they don't have to go through the reprogramming that most of us have had to go through. But starting in verse 16, now he starts introducing the Holy Spirit, which also helps. See that? That's your first level of help, is to live above sin. But what about everything else? Because we live in a fallen world, and we live in these fallen bodies, and they get attacked with sickness and what the Bible calls infirmities. This is last week's lesson. Hey, the Holy Spirit helps you with all of them too. So it also helps. First level of help, that inner man, that new creature. Second level of help, God the Holy Ghost. Now we're talking about dunamis. Now we're talking about might. Okay. I'm trying to teach this lesson and bring all the others in with it because it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. Okay. But see, Paul here is praying in this prayer for dunamis, this might, this miracle working power that comes with the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus talked about it again, Acts 1:8. Let me just quote it exactly. You shall receive power, same word, dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see how dunamis and the Holy Ghost come together? And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the point is, you shall receive power, this dunamis, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So notice how he words it, though, that you be strengthened with might in this, that you be strengthened with this dunamis in your inner man. That threw me for a little bit, but thank God for praying in tongues and meditating the word in whole images. It's like Pastor Dave taught it. Now, remember from previous lessons, that we're going back maybe 6 months now, maybe a year. I'd have to go back and look. But I did, there was 3 or 4 lessons that the Holy Spirit was teaching us, that the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of the Father. See, Jesus would pray to the Father which is in heaven. Remember when it was breaking the bread and the loaves, you know? And it says before he did that, he prayed, he looked up. He knows the Father is in heaven. But he also said, it's the Father in me. Well, what does that mean? Where is he? Is he in heaven or is he in you? He's both. Because the Father himself is in heaven. But the Spirit of the Father, what we call most often the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Oh, the day Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. See, the Holy Spirit came in him. That's why he would say all the time, we're going to look at verses here, it is the Father in me. What? Our Father which art in heaven. No, but the Father's in me. What does that mean? It means the God, the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of the Father. Now, let me give you some verses on this. So, really, what Paul is praying here agrees completely. Notice he says, in the inner man, that you would strengthen them with dunamis by your Spirit in the inner man. This agrees perfectly with Jesus in John 17. So you can go to John 17, look at verse 22. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And verses 22 and 23, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now, just so you'll know, in case you've never heard Dave teach it, that glory is sonship. He's talking about sonship. This is where you talk about God's grace. Jesus made it possible for his Father to become our Father. Oh, my Lord, that we could be the Spirit-born children of the Father. It's sonship, the glory of sonship. Okay, can't major there today, but wow, what a revelation that is. Okay, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What's he talking about? I in them, and thou in me. So Jesus is saying, I in these believers, and thou in me in these believers. Okay? That they may be made perfect in one. Now notice, that the world may know, not the church, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. See, now later on we'll tie this right back together with that prayer in Ephesians, because the next part of it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Okay, so it's all tied together here now. Now, notice this. Go over John 14. Let's just go over there for a minute, talking about the Father. What I'm trying to emphasize right now, in the same way that the Father was in Christ, Christ now is in us, and the Father is in him. It's still the Father doing the works. Now, Jesus says, that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. But he's also plainly says, I can't of myself do nothing. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Well, we get the package deal, if you'll allow me. When you receive Christ, when he says strengthened by your Spirit in the inner man, this new creation needs to be strengthened with dunamis in the inner man. Christ in us and the Father in him. Okay, let me go on. Look at John 14, verses 10 and 11. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He said, the Father's in me. Yet when he would pray, our Father, which art in heaven. So what's he talking about? It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father that's in him. So let me say it again. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father, now notice, that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Oh, my Lord, it is the Father. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now get this. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for the very work's sake. If you can't believe my words, in other words, if you don't want to take my word for it, can you see the works that I'm doing? And really, it's the Father in me. He's doing them. Can you tell by that? That the Father's in me? Come on, you're in John 10. Come on down to verses 37 and 38. Oh, man. You know up there it says, that the world may know, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Watch this. Watch this. John 10, verse 37, 38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Do you know how many churches would close? If that was the litmus test, you know. I mean, you know. I can hear church doors slamming shut worldwide. If that was the litmus test, you can't be a church unless you do the works of the Father. Oh, brother. Well, that's where we're going. He said that the world may know, see, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. If I do not the works of the Father, believe me not. Boy. But if I do, though you believe not me, in other words, you don't believe my speech, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, what is he saying here? For them to know it, they're going to have to see the works. They're not believing him. You can tell reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not believing him because he says it. He shows them and gives them opportunity. And that's why it's so serious when they choose not to believe, because he didn't just tell them. He showed them. And that's what he's wanting the church to do today, that the world may know. We are supposed to be doing the same works to give the world at least a fighting chance at believing this and not just taking our word for it. That the world may know. Jesus didn't just come with words. He came with words and demonstration of the Spirit. That's what we're pressing towards. And boy, we're on the cusp of it. He already told us we are on the cusp of this revival. So he is plainly saying, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Well, the church at large has not been doing the works of the Father. And guess what? Sure enough, the world believes us not. They don't believe that the Father has sent us. They don't believe in our Christ. They don't believe in our gospel. They believe we're crazy. I mean, it's getting worse too. Now they're calling us haters, and we don't have anything except words. And the world believes us not. And he plainly said, if I don't do the works, don't believe me. Well, we haven't done the works and they don't believe us. Well, that's not the gospel. See, I used to think, well, if they don't believe me, I'm just going to shake my sandals off. I'll shake the dust off of my shoes, you know, and good enough for you guys. But see, that's not okay, because he said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils. And then, if they don't believe you, whoa, give them a fighting chance. Can I say it that way? Give them a fighting chance to believe. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Then, if they don't believe, you can shake the dust off. But we haven't done that. The church at large has not done that. We're pressing into that. Seek me and you will find me. Humble yourself before me and I will exalt you. This life comes from my presence. It comes from my face. It comes from me. If you find me, you find my hands. Okay. Now you can do what you want, but I've already made up my mind. If Paul thought this was a good prayer to pray for the church at Ephesus, I think it's a pretty good prayer to pray for Gary and the prayer center at Tulsa and Immokalee and Dayton and all of you that have joined hands and linked arms with us all around the world. I hate to start mentioning countries because I'll leave out one and I don't want to leave out one. But everywhere, we've got people joined in with us all around the world pressing for this revival. Oh my goodness, let's keep pressing. I was just listening again. I can't tell you, just the last of those 10 prophecies, the one where he talks about spiritual authority. The one before it is, they're all wonderful. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shall be restored in the earth. But then that last one, understanding his spiritual authority. I can't even tell you the number of times this past week, I just keep playing it. I know it's 12 minutes from the end. I can fast forward to that 12 minute mark and I can listen to that again and listen to it again. I mean, the most precise instructions for a spirit born child from his father, teaching me how to walk in the true authority that he's given me. I heard something recently. I don't know if I should preview this yet or not. I heard something recently. You know what he's longing for? Through my church, will I get to be God again in the earth? Will I get to do the works again through my church? Oh my Lord. It sounds like Jesus. When he returns, will I find faith? Will the Son of Man, will he find faith on the earth? Oh, when I read that, I always go, I can't help it. Yes, you will, because I'll be here. Yes. But if Paul thought this was a good prayer to pray for the church at Ephesus, I know it's a good prayer to pray for me. And I'm praying the whole prayer for me. I'm praying it for the church. I'm praying it for the prayer center. I'm praying it for all of you. I'm praying it for all of us that we press into this revival. I'm also trying to humble myself more. How would you do that, Gary? Well, one way I humble myself is to do the blueprint for 2020. I mean, the Lord has been so gracious to give us precise instructions what to do. Well, how would you humble yourself? I would do that. What you said, that's what I'm going to do. And that's one way of humbling. Just to be honest with you, I am trying to spend more time on my 73-year-old knees, which is not a whole lot of time. But it's good. It's good. It's good to bow. I can feel the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. I'm growing up in him. See, I know Jesus is the full-blown Son of God without limit, without measure. But I can see him bowing in the garden. Sorry, it gets me every time. I can see him those nights that he would spend in prayer. And I know he would walk and talk with God too. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he always bowed. I'm not trying to get legalistic. I'm really not. But, oh, reverence, such great reverence between the Son and the Father. Father, not my will. Not my will, but thine be done, Father. Not my will, Father. I've not come to do my will. I've come to do your will, Father. Oh, man. We need that. Gary needs a lot more of that. Gary needs a lot more of that. So I'm trying to spend more time in his presence, trying to spend more time. You can call it worship. I'm not even calling it. I'm calling it seeking, spending time with him, a father and his son. Previews. I can't help it. I'm going to give you another little preview. I heard this. It's precious to me. It's like sharing something really precious. He says, you just don't know the joy that I had with my son Adam before the fall. You can't hardly talk after that. See, right there has got a whole lot to do with knowing that love being rooted and grounded in love. What delight, what pleasure the Father wants with his born-again children.
walking and talking with him in the cool of the day and us being about our Father's business and always knowing who we are and holding our head high in the sense of, you have made me your son. I'm an heir. Put the ring on my finger and clothe me with the robe and put the sandals on my feet and kill the fatted calf. But Father, I love you, Father. Not my will, not my will. Yours be done. Your kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here just as it is in heaven. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And Father, we trust you. You'll never lead us into temptation, but you always deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory and the power forever. Amen. Glory to God. We've heard of me time. We need a little more knee time. On your knees time with the Father. So I'm continuing on in this blueprint for 2020. I'm trying to spend at minimum the hours that we were doing at the church, which I'll remind you again, on Wednesday was from 4 p.m. till 10 p.m. Friday from noon until 10 p.m. Saturday morning from 7 a.m. till noon. At least during those times, be praying in the Spirit as much as I can. And of course, in the Word, you can read while you pray. And sometimes I listen again to the blueprint. I've got it on my phone. I can listen to it all the time. And but spend that time. But also, there's just times the Father and the Son. How about this? The Father and the Son. Just the Father and His Son. Can I say, spending time together? Quality time. I want Him to have that pleasure again. Well, when He said that to me, I don't know, something went through me. Every time I try and say it, emotion comes. You just don't know the joy that I had. What joy Adam brought me, my son, before the fall. You just don't know the joy. Well, He's restoring that. He's restoring, and He loves us the whole time while we were yet sinners. He loved us. But see, I want Him to have that joy again through this son. And I know you want the same thing. Well, that's part of that seeking time and humbling ourselves. And instead of me time, let's have some knee time. That's a good one. All right, I'm going to stop. My hour's up. It's 58 minutes here. I do like that this little recorder thing has a clock on it, so I don't keep you forever. Well, we're still not having meetings at the church. And I just want to remind you again, please don't forget the Mother Church. Can I say that? Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson and for the foundation he so lovingly but relentlessly put into us for all those decades. And the prayer center here in Tulsa is kind of the Mother Church of us all, if you're joined with us. And I know that without any meetings, I know that the opportunity for people to give is not near like it was before. So I know the salaries have still got to be, ministry is still going on out of that church, even though we're not having meetings there. And I know they send letters and emails and answer questions and letters go out to prisoners and just all kinds of things all around the world. Salaries have got to be paid. The light bill's got to be kept on. Air conditioning's got to run. So please remember the Family Prayer Center in your giving. You can just make a check out to DRM. That's the way I do it. It stands for Dave Roberson Ministries, of course. I just make it out to DRM. And the mailing address, you send it to the Family Prayer Center, Post Office Box 725, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. That's the Family Prayer Center, Post Office Box 725. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. And I hope you're enjoying these messages. I hope you're making full use of the extra time that we have during the pandemic. And let's do the blueprint. The works that He did shall we do also, and greater than these shall we do. I'm telling you now, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Looking forward to seeing you the next time. Bye-bye.